motion, steps back in the pocket, being chased, hit, down he goes. Marco Coleman got him to the 35-yard line.
Welcome to the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper and Marco Coleman will break down today's Jaguars game and take a look around the rest of the NFL, as well as take your calls, tweets, and Facebook questions. The Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Sonny's Barbecue, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Carry Limousine, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank.
Let's get the show started.
Here are Marco Coleman and Cole Pepper.
Well, light them up, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Want to talk about the Jaguars' 12-7 victory over the Baltimore Ravens? You can do it right here on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Hey, you know, it just, who knows what will happen the rest of the year, but to break a losing skid, especially a five-game losing streak that's, you know, it had been a month and a half since the Jaguars had won a game. I think the guys in that locker room are feeling a lot better about themselves heading home tonight.
What a better way to go. And that was the thing that I was looking for coming in this game. If these guys were going to seize the opportunity to go into a national spotlight and get this win, you know, and you had to be enthusiastic and excited about the opportunity. That's one thing about football, 16 games, you got next week. You know, and I was hoping to see that fire that, I mean, they came out with more energy, I think, than the Baltimore Ravens tonight.
Absolutely. They came out fired up and ready to roll and playing. Knew it was going to be a physical game right from the get-go. The other thing I would say, there are a lot of teams when you get to 1-5 and things don't look so good, that we've seen teams start to fold up the tents at that point. And I think that you talk about the character issue, and people sometimes confuse, you know, when Gene Smith talks about bringing in character guys, it's not just about guys who don't get, you know, in trouble with the law. It's guys who approach things the right way. They're not going to fold at the first sign of pressure, and that's what I think we've seen out of this Jaguars team. You know, win or lose, whatever was going to happen tonight, they were going to go out there and really lay it on the line. As it is, the Jaguars were victorious as they laid it on the line today, and so that's what we have. All right, we'd like to start the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show off each and every week with Marco's Money Players. Who's your money player?
Oh, the guy that gave me all the money. Josh, big money, Scobie. Matter of fact, it's about
Scobie
time.
Bryant.
When do they start voting for the Pro Bowl? I mean, this guy was 12 for 12 this season so far, four of them for 50 yards or more. He's got to be going to the Pro Bowl.
He's now 14 for 14 on field
14
goals.
14 for 14,
14 for 14 on field goals. And let me see his five from beyond. Man, I'll have to check that out. But
this cat is off the chain. Yep. Josh Scobie going to Hawaii. He's got to go to Hawaii right now. Well, you know, he's got some time for a skid, but we're going to say right now.
Remember, he started off hot last year. He's got to keep it going throughout.
Keep it going.
But let's see, 55, 53, and then today. 54, 54, 51. And 51. So you're talking about those five field goals of 50 plus. Mm. And by the way, some of these other ones, not exactly 48, 45, 46, 45, not exactly chip shots.
All you need is basically to get the offense to take the ball on the 20 and just go basically 30.
35, 40 yards.
Just get two first downs. Yep. 2 to 3 first downs, we're good for three.
Yeah, and that's the way it worked out as the Jaguars get the four Scobie field goals today and win it 12-7. All right, your calls straight ahead, 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. You can also tweet to me at Cole Pepper. We've already got one guy who thinks the Jaguars should go after Terrell Owens. We'll talk a little bit about that.
Leave him alone. Let the sleeping dog.
Did you
lie.
Hear what the whole character thing was they just mentioned? We'll get back to that right after this timeout on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back to the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Help our military stay connected to loved ones by bringing a gently used cell phone to the November 27th Jaguars Military Appreciation Game. You'll provide a member of our overseas military with a 60-minute phone card in the process. And if you're a parent or guardian of a girl 6 to 17 years of age, stop by your local Bell store, register your child to become a member of the Junior Roar, performing at halftime during the Jaguars-Bucks game December 11th. Registration now through November 6th. For official rules, visit your nearby Bell store. And remember to text BBQ to 72239. And enter for a chance to win the Sonny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You can hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. 800-355-NFL1. All right, you ready to get some calls in here, Marco?
Let's make it happen.
Let's make it happen. Let's start with Paul and Bartram, who's up next, up first for us on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Paul, how you doing?
Paul, Paulie.
Hello, Paul.
Paul, shut it down.
Paulie didn't have the chance to lead it off. We need a stronger leadoff hitter here. Let's go to
Paul?
Jerry on the south side. Jerry, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Happy Tuesday morning to you, fellas.
Same to you, man.
Hey, listen, I just wanted to touch base with you and say that hats off to Josh Scobie, hats off to the defense. Coming up the escalator, had some Baltimore Ravens fans in our face telling us how bad they were going to beat us. And I happened to see them on the way back out, and they weren't saying too much on the way back out.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that 12 points is not going to get it done in Houston next week, though. So we got to turn those red zones into touchdowns, you know, our opportunities in the red zone into touchdowns. And I don't know, what do you think, guys, if you had to say, what are we missing right now? Is it creative offensive play calling in the red zone? Is it more creative, like getting the tight end more involved, perhaps? Or is it just down to Mercedes dropping the ball in the end zone?
I'll tell you four things I think they're missing on offense right now. Number one, more experience for Blaine Gabbert. Number two, consistency with who's on the offensive line and how they play. Number three, more playmakers at wide receiver. And number four, being able to play to the strengths of the guys on offense more often.
Are we missing out on Rashad Jennings being gone?
I think that's a significant factor, because you're talking about a guy who is able to run with power to spell Maurice, whereas Deji's more of a guy who, you know, runs with shiftiness and mm-hmm. quickness. It's just it's a different kind of runner.
It's a change up for us. And catching the ball off the backfield as well. But thanks, guys. Appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go next up to – where are we going to go here? Let's go to Richard on the north side, who's up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Richard, how you doing?
Hey, happy Tuesday morning to y'all guys.
Thank you very much, man.
Hey,
we keep this up, we might be into Wednesday and Thursday,
there
right?
There it is.
I want to talk about old Herman Boone, how he threw a shifty little new offensive play calling in there with the Wildcat.
The Wildcat action, huh? One time it worked, one time it didn't.
Yeah, he must have heard my call. I was proud of him.
Yeah, that's probably what happened. Yeah, I bet that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, after six plays, now seven plays. If we can get up to 13, we'll be all right. But I just was proud to see something different, especially when we went for it on fourth down. I mean, just doing something different. I mean, if just like you said, or somebody mentioned picking up Terrell Owens, you know, I don't see that happening. Like you said, the morale of the team and whatnot, you got to look out for that. But Culpepper, you also told me that you was going to talk to Gene about Antoine Randall-Lale. Did you ever talk to him about it?
I did.
Mm. What did he say?
He did not say the Jaguars were hot in pursuit of Antoine Randall-Lale.
Okay, and anything about Antonio Bryant? I mean,
Bryant's got some off the field baggage too now. So just
I think it's gonna be a thing, just wait till the season.
Yeah, I mean, about three quarters of the time, you can tell if Gene is gonna be interested in somebody, right?
Yeah,
I mean, first of all, do they have off the field baggage? Are they, you know, considered a real pro? If the answer is that are considered a pro, then okay, yeah. If it's baggage, probably not. And Marco, I think you're right. You know,
it's gonna be a thing. Wait till the end of the season. I don't think there's really no one out there that I think that'll make that big of a difference, because now you got to get reacquainted, and in the time that it'll take to get that done, you know, you might as well wait till you get a nice, fresh, young person that you can mold and become another leader on the offense.
But do we have time for that, though, guys?
Oh, that won't be till the off season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, do we have?
Who's we? I've got time. I've got time for it.
Well, you know, like you said, they're going into the, if they can get the win next week, you're going to the bye week 3-5, sitting in a position I predicted that 7-9 is going to win the division, and if that's the case, the Jaguars have as good a chance as anybody else in the division right now.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for your call, guys.
All right, Richard, thanks a lot. 800-355-NFL1. Yeah, the point on Terrell Owens, you got three problems. Number one, no guarantee he's healthy. Number two, he's not a good guy in the locker room. And number three, he's got to come in, learn a whole new offense. And how did Terrell Owens do when he wasn't getting the ball a lot? Nobody's getting the ball a lot in this offense right now, because there's, you know, it's a long way to go.
You know what I think the biggest thing is, that Cutter doesn't trust anybody right now other than Maurice Jones-Drew, and I think he kind of tested his trust with the way, as many times he put the ball on the ground today. You figure you can't, you know, the wide receivers are iffy as far as catching. Your big-time tight end is showing he's a little iffy with catching. What do I do? I mean, I don't trust anybody. I don't know what to call. You know, so what I'm going to do? Wildcat. Just give it to him, JD.
All right, we've got a couple of tweets here from a listener. One, how did Campman look when he was in? And number two, do you think Hill's emerging as the number one receiver? Campman, quite honestly, still has got a ways to go. I was keeping an eye on him, particularly late in the game. Just doesn't have that explosion. He's 11 months coming off his injury. That would be a fast turnaround, and he's still got a ways to go till he's back to being Aaron Campman.
Yeah, I think he but he's working at it. I mean, he still had the energy there. And as long as
it's
he
great to have his presence.
Yeah, I think just having him on the field makes a difference. It even brings, you can tell, the level or the consciousness of the rest of the defensive lineup.
Yeah, and his leadership out there obviously is terrific. I would suggest that you're probably not going to see Campman look like Campman until after the bye week. You know, get a chance to play on a little bit, give it a rest, then get back out there and see how it does.
I need it.
And then as for Jason Hill emerging as the number one receiver, well, he's emerging as the number one targeted receiver, guy's making the most plays right now. I just don't think Jason Hill is a, you know, I have a high opinion of a number one receiver. We've seen number one receivers, number one receiver here in Jacksonville in Jimmy Smith. You know what a number one receiver looks like.
And that's a guy that's strong, catches the ball, and doesn't fall down before contact. That's looking to go ahead and get that yak, that yards after the catch. He's not bad, but then you got to have some more sure hands. Yeah.
There's some A1 guys in the league.
Yeah.
Like Calvin Johnson, Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, that sort of thing. You can find number one receivers out there. Guys who are, you know, clearly in the, you know, 80 plus catch category every year. A guy that when on third down, you know you're going to go to him. You know, the Jaguars sort of had a 1 and a 1B with Jimmy and Keenan when they were here.
But really, the question actually is, do you actually need a number one guy? You look at Drew Brees. You know, he'll go through the course of a game and hit six different people.
Right.
And you don't know who's going to be that guy in that game. You know, and you just need to have good talent all the way across the board of guys that you can count on just catching the ball.
I would take 5 2s over a 1 and a bunch of 4s.
Okay.
But if that 1 was Calvin Johnson, I may rethink that. That's just a one thing.
As long as you got somebody you can go to in the red zone, and that person was supposed to be Mercedes, right now he's letting his team down.
800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Jim, who just left the game, who's up on the Southern 4 Dealer Scoreboard Show. Jim, how you doing?
Hey, good. Yeah, number one, I tell you, the atmosphere out there at the stadium was just great.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that Jacksonville loves a Monday night game, right? I mean, the fans
turned
it out.
Saying, that was
you
my
nailed
pick.
It.
Yeah.
You nailed it, Marco.
E, there we go. It was E.
Man, we had fun to the very end. Of course, the Jaguars kept us there to the very end, as usual.
Yep.
But I just want to say, you know, Coach Del Rio always catches so much flack, you know, of course, with a 5-game losing streak and stuff. But I thought him and the coach staff did an outstanding job getting these guys up for the Ravens, who everybody knew were going to come to Jacksonville and just beat us by 40 points. So, I mean, those guys just, you know, defense played great. Offense needs a little improvement here and there, but they still won the game. They did what it took. They won the game.
Yeah.
And a couple of decisions they made, you know, it was like he was playing, you know, not to win, not just, you know, kind of hang in there. So, I mean, that's what I really enjoyed seeing. I was like, man, these guys are playing to win.
Well, I've been keeping an eye on whether the team would continue to respond. You know, that's always a thing. Clearly, you know, a lot of talk about the coach being on the hot seat. And when you start seeing a team not respond to a coach or not respond on the field, that's a real warning sign. That has not happened here. I mean, and part of it is the guys you have in the locker room, and part of it is the way that the coaching staff is engaging with these players. And they are still giving that kind of effort. So that's definitely a good sign. And again, it sounds crazy at 2-5 to say they're still in this thing.
But the
rest of the division is so bad that they're still in this thing.
That's the deal.
Man, that's exciting too.
Well, that's all right. What is it? Well, who went to the last year?
Seattle 7-9. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll probably end up the same way in that division again. The NFC West.
Yeah, San Francisco's off to a pretty good start.
They got about 5 wins, don't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right, Jim, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Go Jaguars, sure thing.
Was a great atmosphere before the game. Marco, you and I usually, just to give you a little bit of a background, after we finish the tailgate show and our first segment of the pregame show, you and I come back in from our place there at Gate 1, walk down the hallway inside, past the locker room, come here to Jaguar Central, put our stuff down, go up, grab a bite to eat. But you know, instead of going right back up, I walked back outside and spent, I don't know, 5-10 minutes walking around. There was a palpable energy. You know, I've been to a lot of big events in my career. You know, Super Bowls, Final Fours, National Championship games, World Series, that sort of thing, Daytona 500s, and the like. And I'm not saying that this was quite that. But aside from those major events that are championships being crowned, the biggest kind of energy around a game that I can remember, you know, in a regular season game, was a couple of years ago against the Colts. Right, and it was such a big atmosphere, and the city really turned out for it in the midst of a year when people were really struggling. You know, the attendance was bad and everything else, but that was such a great night. The atmosphere was so big. This reminded me, maybe half a notch down from that, but this reminded me of that kind of game.
I'm gonna tell you, it was outstanding. The food smelled great.
Oh yeah,
the tailgating was really. Ooh,
my kind of, you like that?
Yeah, I mean, but Monday night does that. It's going to bring it out. And like I mentioned in the pregame, this is a football town. And when you got a community that loves football, high school, college, just football, period. Pee-wee, it doesn't matter. Everybody, Monday night football is going to bring out the best in those that love the game. And they not only did the team show up, but the fans. I think they had a big to-do with the way the defense played out there tonight.
And as I tweeted, Jaguars are now 1-0 in games with Fred Taylor as the honorary captain. Hey, you know, I'm just saying.
Bring him back out.
Just saying. Bueller Swiss Watch Company, proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watches, available at Jacobs Jewelers in Jacksonville, Faceted Rainbow in Ocala, Lorraine's Diamond Tree in Middleburg, Treasures Fine Jewelry in Palatka, and J. Carbone Jewelers in Valdosta. Hey, season ticket holders, get paid at the pump when you buy 10 gallons or more of Gate gasoline. Show your Jaguars rewards card and receipt to the cashier for your coupon worth $2 in Jagbucks, redeemable for game day concessions and merchandise. Back with an injury update, more of your calls and tweets right after this timeout on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back, Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. Tuesday, November 8th, J.D. Byrider invites you to the dealership at 8864 Atlantic Boulevard to have cookies with the Jaguars rookies. They'll be there from noon till 2, signing autographs and sharing cookies with you. Injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Jack Del Rio saying nothing major on the injury front coming out of the game. Marco, that's a good sign heading into Sunday's matchup against Houston.
Yeah, if they can go ahead, get in, handle Houston, go into the bye week with really good health, I think that this latter part of the season is favorable for those guys to be in a position to literally, I mean, really compete for this division. I don't think it's something that should be taken lightly as to the possibilities of those guys having a home playoff game.
Several fans tweeting to me wanting to know why not take some more shots down the field with the offense.
It's trust, man. They don't trust the offensive line blocking and don't trust the guys getting open. I don't think the Dirt Cutter trusts the guys. I don't think it's so. I'm beginning to recognize that he shows some creativity.
Yeah.
But I don't think he actually trusts certain things to put the game in certain guys' hands. You know, and
said, maybe for good reason.
Legitimate reason. Who would know better? It's like a father, a parent and a child. You know, I know these kids. I'm not going to give them the keys to the darn car.
800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Paul, who just left the game, who's up next here on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good, thanks. I want to make a few quick comments, and I'll listen off the air to hear you if you respond. But first of all, I'd say, hey, congrats to Josh Scobie tonight. What a game. I think he made the Pro Bowl tonight with that performance on Monday Night Football, 350 yarders. I think that last field goal of his was his second biggest kick of his career. Take away the game winner against Indy last year. That kick tonight, considering if he missed it, the field position and the momentum that would have been gained by the Ravens if he had missed that kick, that was such a big kick for Josh. So congrats to Josh. I also, like I said, I'm a little confused by the play calling tonight compared to other games. I mean, I'm definitely thrilled with the victory. We really needed this win. I'm not Debbie Downer by any stretch. I'm really jacked up about it. But, you know, 4th and 2, we go for it. But 4th and 1 against the Saints, the highest scoring team in the NFL, we can't go for it on the goal line. So, you know, why not? That confuses me
talking,
a little bit.
Wait. You're talking about the first drive of the third quarter when they...
No, I'm talking about in the first quarter tonight. We go for it fourth and two inside the five, but yet fourth and one against the Saints in the first quarter, we kick the field goal. So I'm a little confused, you know, why we would do that tonight.
Well, fourth and two was at the 15, by the way, not inside the five.
Okay, it was in the red zone. Yeah. It was in the red zone. You're right, and they ran it down and got inside the five, and then we fumbled.
Right.
But it's fourth and two in an easy field goal position for Josh Scobie. You know, why go for it then, but we don't go for it against the Saints, fourth and one on the goal line against the highest-scoring offense in the NFL, when obviously we're going to need touchdowns, not field goals. So I just like to say I'm a little confused by that, but, you know, also I think that Blaine made some really nice throws in the red zone tonight, even though we didn't put up any touchdowns. He had the two throws in the red zone that should have been caught, especially the one to Lewis. And then finally I'd like to say that we had success throwing the ball and obvious running downs on first down. We had, I don't know if we were three or four, maybe four or five, and had our best passing success tonight came in obvious rundowns. We had three or four, actually I think we had three in a row, and then we went away from it and didn't go back to it the rest of the game. So all in all, you know, it's a great win for the Jaguars, but you know, I really don't like playing not to lose. I'd like to play to win, and so but I'm really excited about
that's
the
what they did tonight. I mean, they played there. Yeah, I can say that maybe a couple weeks ago was more so let's not allow the kid to mess up the game, but tonight, especially defensively, I don't think that all season long you've seen this many blitzes and fire zones, you know, called in one game. And they came in the call by Jack early. I came to win. I'm a wild animal with my back against the wall. I got to come out swinging.
Yeah, I didn't get the feeling at all that they were, you know, playing not to lose at any point.
Oh, no. This is a very aggressive, you know, we're going to let it out.
They didn't execute very well on offense, and they had some issues. But it wasn't for lack of, you know, what their aim was. I think they had the right aim. It just didn't, you know. And the other thing is, in a game like this, and by now, listen, Jaguars fans have seen enough of these kind of games, these slugfest games with Baltimore, Pittsburgh, or, you know, Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to get caught up in the beauty marks on this. You get caught up in the physical, in the confrontation, in the man against man, in the, you know, defensive line against offensive line. Who's winning that battle? Who's winning the battle of field position?
Mm-hmm.
Who's not making the little mistake? There were a couple of times where Baltimore in the first half, they had a 4th and 43. 4th and 43. All right, that's field position. That's winning field position with your defense, not just with your special teams. Later on, they had a 3rd and 31. All right, that's winning field position with your defense and with Baltimore making, you know, mistakes and committing errors, so penalties. I love a game like this. I don't need 50 points and the ball being thrown all over the field to enjoy a football game. I can enjoy that kind of game, but I enjoy this kind of game when it's physical and passionate.
A bunch of
and
snot knockers. I mean,
and
it's
every
just...
play matters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
not arena football. Every play matters. That's what
is.
I like to see.
Great game.
800, thanks for the call, Paul. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Josh in Arlington. Is up next on the Southern Four Dealer Scoreboard Show. Josh, how are you?
Josh.
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Josh. What's on your mind?
I have two questions, actually. First of all, how do we get more consistent as individual players to win ball games and to do well? And my second one is, can our defense keep it up how they did it tonight?
I can't imagine a defense keeping it up like this all year long. No, I mean, you shouldn't expect that. That's just, that would be ridiculously dominant. But this is a good defense. This is a good defense. I mean, I've been trying to convince Marco all first half of the season.
I haven't seen
to go along
they were not a good defense.
You didn't even think they were going to be in the top half in the league.
I still don't think so. Like I said, they got to be a top 10 because they're going next week. And the way this defense played was almost, I guess, close to a pitcher, you know, having a no-hitter. These guys shut their offense down. This is an offense that averages close to 30 points, 300-and-some-odd yards. They only had 146 total yards. It doesn't get any better. They didn't do anything wrong. Maybe that last drive they gave up a play or two, but Other than that, you can't play better defense. The Ravens, the best defense in the league, they went against the number 32 ranked offense, yep, and they didn't play as perfect as their defense. You know, now, granted, you know, the guys, again, Wild Animals with the back against the wall, you're going to get a certain type of game. And they play like that. And that's what I was looking for, them coming out and playing like everything was on the line. And at this point, until they can get to 500, it pretty much is.
And I'm sorry, Josh, what was your first point on that?
About the red zone.
Oh,
right?
The red zone, yeah. How do they get better? There are two ways. Let me, philosophically speaking, let me step back and give a kind of a big picture look at this. There are two ways you can get better in any phase of the game. One, draft better players, or two, improve the players that you draft more efficiently. You know, in other words, either get better players or coach them up better.
But, right?
Or a combination of two. And the, and so part of coaching is putting them in a position to succeed, you know, trying to get them play to their strength, put them in the best situation to succeed you possibly can.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. What can you do right now to get those guys? Because you figure they're in the thick of things. But in order to catapult themselves to be in a position for the postseason, they're going to have to score more than 12 points.
One of the big things, Marco, is they got to be more physical up front, you know, inside the 5-yard line. They got to open up some holes, move the pile, right?
And those dudes get it done. They are doing a great job when they're run blocking. But I Mercedes.
Oh, here
come
we go.
On, dude. Here, I mean,
right, you're not breaking up.
But honestly, you know, I'm coming to his defense for a second, but then I'm gonna get right back and I'm pissed off at him. But you got to get him the ball earlier in the game. You figure this guy is not even heard of in the first half. His first catch is in the third quarter, yep, man. I mean, come on. You got to get him in the game. And then all of a sudden, you know, but, you know, it doesn't excuse the fact he's got to catch the ball when it's thrown to him. But I think the offense would have had more opportunities if they would have had gotten him the ball earlier and a lot more often.
I agree with you.
He would have got that missed catch out the way earlier in the middle of the field.
Perhaps Mercedes as a pass-catching weapon isn't what he's been the last couple of years. For whatever reason, maybe too many, you know, times hitting guys in MMA. I don't know. In the training, I don't know what it is. He just hasn't been the weapon.
It's taking too long to get him involved in the game.
So you want the old technique they used to use, the Bulls and Bill Cartwright. Get him to on the first
get him
dump
early,
it
man.
Down low.
Yeah,
let him
get
that.
Turn around, yeah, get a dunk foul, go to the foul line, you know, yeah, real quick.
Just get in the groove. All right, Josh, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. 355-6351. When you're looking for department store style at discount prices, look no further than your neighborhood Stein Mart. 6 Jacksonville locations. Stein Mart, more fashion, less price. When we come back, the carry of the day. Plus more of your calls and tweets. You can tweet to me if you're on Twitter at Cole Pepper, C-O-L-E-P-E-P-P-E-R. Back with more of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show right after this timeout. Here on Jaguars Radio. Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show continues deep into the night here on Jaguars Radio. Time now for the carry of the day presented by Waste Pro. Let Waste Pro USA carry the load for you. What's your carry of the day, Marco Coleman?
MJD in there. Arr, Wildcat, that 4th and 2, you know.
What was that one we're talking?
He ran the Wildcat.
That cat has a hairball. What in the world is going on over there?
That was a great play, man. I'm not sure if I would. I think I would have sent Josh Scobie out at the 15-yard line, but, hey, gutsy call, got it done. You know, hey, way to go, guys. I think that was definitely the run of the day.
As it led to a fumble, but, you know, didn't actually get what you needed to out of it. You can tweet to me at Cole Pepper. Josh says, Cole, you said we need to progress our guys. Is that something we do well? And if not, how do we do it better? I think the Jaguars could do a lot better job of progressing the guys. I don't think there have been enough guys who have made the kind of progress that you would expect over the last couple of years. Part of that has to do with a changing coaching staff and bringing in new coaches and changing some things, but you look at who's really progressed. Has Eugene Monroe progressed? Not as much as you'd like. You know, injuries have been an issue for Britton. Knighton has been pretty much good since he got here. I think he's progressed as a pro, certainly. Derek Cox.
I think he's progressed.
Has progressed.
I think he's
Mike progressed. Thomas, I think, has progressed.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Miller. To some extent,
can't stay out on the field. Yeah, got to stay out the tub. And then Tyson, I mean, I think he is what he is.
Tyson has been, you know, pretty good from the beginning. He's also been playing with a bad leg, so is that part of it? I think you look at some teams that really develop great, strong foundations, draft well, and then they develop those guys. Mm-hmm. And that's you know, two sides of the same coin. In order to be successful, you got to be able to do that. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Kevin on the west side, who's up next on the Southern Ford Dealers Scoreboard Show. Kevin, how you doing?
Kevin.
Pretty good. How about you?
Good. What's on your mind?
Just wondering about how good the defense is. I mean, they made a note on Monday Night Football about spending all that money on the defense, and based on the game tonight and how it's been previously, it looks like that money's been paying off.
Yeah, I think the moves that were made in the offseason have been terrific, and the ones that impressed me the most, I mean, it's one thing. Puzlesny, you knew, would come in and make an impact. Maybe he's been even better than you thought, but he's been, you know, he's just a tackling machine. Dewan Landry's been very solid, has certainly helped to shore up the defensive backfield. Drew Coleman made the play today. But the two guys that impressed me the most, and what the three actually, are guys who the Jaguars brought in kind of after preseason started, and that is Matt Roth, John Chick, and then Dwight Lowry. And those three guys all are making plays. I mean, it's just
getting it done.
Yeah. I think you can certainly say that from a personnel side of things, the Jaguars definitely upgraded the defense this offseason and early this season by keeping an eye out and, you know, making sure that they were leaving no stone unturned.
Yeah, because that secondary, man, the way it's been previously and then this game was night and day. Well, I could not believe how well they played. That was great.
Had everybody back, right? You had Cox back in there, yep. So you had Middleton being able to play his position. You have Coleman, as I said, Lowry, and everybody basically Courtney Green didn't play, but just everybody else in that defensive backfield was there and available, and you've got to be able to throw more than just two corners and two safeties out there a lot of times.
Which I think allowed them to be so aggressive on defense because of how confident that Mel felt with having Derek Cox out there with the one-on-one coverage of one of the wide receivers.
Oh, the wide receivers could not get away from him. He was attached to their hips.
What about Rasheen Matthews? They couldn't get away from Rasheen. Sticky.
Oh, no, it was great to see them playing on form like that, man. I hope they can keep that up the rest of the season. That would be fantastic.
Health is going to be a big part of that, of course. And also, now I will also say, aside from Torrey Smith, the Ravens do not have a very, you know, physically explosive set of wide receivers. You know, Bolden is a big physical guy, but he's not a run by you type. And some of the other receivers they're more of the solid possession receiver type than the explosive downfield type. Other than Torrey Smith, who certainly has that speed.
And how great is it with Scobie? I mean, you have. You're out there. It looks like the defense might have stopped him at 50-plus yards away, and Del Rio kind of gauges it. Yeah, go ahead and send him in. He's got it.
Yeah, and he's been terrific. Again, I want to see him finish the year strong. When it turns colder and the winds start whipping a little bit, let's see him get it done. I mean, he's been kicking in some pretty good conditions so far this year, and he's been doing a great unit. You couldn't ask for anything more. But last year, same great start. He's got to continue it all the way through the year.
Keep it going.
Yep, absolutely. The Jaguars are going to need that. Kevin, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's go to Concord, California. Concord, which is where, Clark? Is that Southern California?
Concord, California is the home of Maurice Jones-Drew.
Southern California, yeah, that's right.
Concord, California is the home of Maurice Jones-Drew. I hear a lot of people comment on my Jaguars tire when I'm out here.
There you go.
And I absolutely love it. First of all, I'd like to make a statement. I thank you guys immensely for the program that you put on. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. And living in California, I don't get to see a whole lot of games on TV, but every single week I listen to you guys on the radio, and I appreciate it so much. I absolutely love it.
Right.
And Marco and Cole, you guys do an awesome, awesome job.
We appreciate you having
out
there,
man.
And what do you think about the play of Mincy tonight? I heard a lot of Mincy's name being mentioned a lot tonight on Monday Night Football. What do you think about how Mincy played tonight?
He had a big tackle for a loss to break a long third down. He had the sack cause fumble, the batted ball on the screen. I mean, this guy was all up. He was Johnny on the spot a lot often, but that's been all season long. He has, I think, in my opinion, probably the most consistent defensive lineman the whole season. And when you're talking about playing the run and the pass, he's been there every game this season.
Yeah, and great effort guy, you know, good character guy in the locker room, guy who went back and finished up his degree at Florida. I remember a couple of mini camps ago, and he's kind of that, you know, much like Chick and in some regards Campman, you know, mm-hmm. he's that Paul Spicer kind of high motor, try hard kind of guy, you know, get more out of your ability than somebody would think you might have, and he's played very well. I mean, every game he's been very, very good for the Jaguars.
My man.
All right, Clark, thanks for the call from Concord, and we appreciate you listening, and we'll try to keep it up throughout the year.
Thank you very much.
All mm-hmm. right, Clark calling from Concord, California, out there in Southern California. All right, let's see. We need one more break, Ed, is that right? Let's take it right now as we go deep into the night. Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show continues. More of your calls, tweets, and we'll look forward to the Houston Texans when we come back on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show on Jaguars Radio. Final segment of the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Cole Pepper, Marco Coleman here. A couple of Jaguars tweeting here. Let's go with Mike Thomas. Good win for us. Appreciate all the support from Jag Nation. Short week for us and a division game next week. Hashtag grinding. Also from Uche Waneri. Why is it they talk about the Ravens beating themselves instead of talking about how the Jaguars won? ESPN, come on, man. No respect. Spend 5 minutes talking about their mistakes. Spend 5 seconds talking about the Jags defense and how well they played. Hashtag wow.
Well, you are 2-5.
Well, mean, hey, and you don't have – yeah, that's part. That's certainly part of it.
And you're kicking field goals.
Yeah, there are plenty of good things to talk about with the Jaguars, but it's par for the course. You know, it Anquan Boldin had a quote tonight after the game talking about the Jaguars saying, quote, you have to give them credit. They played like it was their Super Bowl.
They played – I mean, that's how they had to come out to play. When you've been on a 5-game losing streak, yes, at some point you're going to have to play a game like it's a Super Bowl and go out and get a Super Bowl win.
All right, let's get the rest of these callers in here. Everybody's on the line now. We'll get to you and then call tonight. David in Orange Park, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. David, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going? I don't know how much voice I got left. we were going crazy down there. But I did want to say not only congratulations to the Jaguars, but one of the biggest fans in Jacksonville is in the Dominican Republic. My sister on her honeymoon tonight, right. And she was watching the game at the hotel.
Yeah.
That had to be the best wedding present of all for her. So congratulations to her. And also, I wanted to say to all the people, I've been one of the people also saying that it's time for Del Rio to go. But I do want to say this to the people that are going to constantly keep saying the things about him, is if you're going to call into this show and the other talk shows during the week and you're going to kill him when he has a team prepared to come out like that, like they did on Monday Night Football, give the guy the credit that he deserves for this game. And let's not think about 2-5 right now. Let's kind of soak in this victory for a while, because I don't care what ESPN says. The Baltimore Ravens did not give that game away. That game was completely shoved in their faces the whole night. And we came out and played Ravens football and punched them in the mouth the whole night long. So, you know, I love to hear the talk about the possibilities of us not being out of the division and the glass half full and everything. We get this offense rolling the way this defense is playing. You know, I don't know statistically if they will or not, but after a game like that, they might be cracking the top five in the league in defense and overall defense again. And I just want to say, you know, way to go, guys, not giving up. And we're behind you. We were going crazy out there. And let's go beat Houston.
All right. I like the call. David, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. 800-355-NFL1. Let's go to Pete in Daytona, who's up next. Pete, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
Hey, I'm on my way home from the game tonight. Excellent game. Just want to say that. One of the loyal season ticket holders. Looking forward to it. I just want to get your thoughts on why we ain't utilizing Greg Jones a little bit more.
Okay. I would say that Greg Jones is being utilized a lot as a blocker, which is what he does best.
He needs to get a neck roll.
Just give him one of those, just slam on in there. Greg Jones is, you know, his legs are not what they once were in terms of running the football. He's had, you know, multiple knee surgeries, but I'll tell you, he just blocks those. Every week somebody tries to pick a fight with him because Greg just blocks him too darn hard.
I'm going to tell you, it gets irritating when a guy just will not let you go when you're trying to run after the ball, and he's one of the best at it right now, finishing blocks. Until from whistle to whistle, he goes at it hard.
He really does. All right, Pete, thanks for the call. 800-355-NFL1. John on the north side, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show.
What's happening, John?
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I got a comment, and real quick, and I got a question. The when they were backed up, the Ravens backed up in the north end zone, and they went play action, and he threw it down the field, what a gutsy call that was. I mean, I'd like to see us do that. I mean, I know there's a lot of risk involved too, but it was a great call on their part.
Well, they had to do something, and I think part of the thinking there was, hey, you got Torrey Smith who can really run. Maybe you get a pass interference, or maybe you make a play, or at worst, you've gotten out of the back of the end zone there.
Right.
It's almost like a punt. Now, I would also say this. You feel better about doing that with a veteran quarterback. You know, Flacco is in his fourth year, so you'd feel better. But sometimes you do that and it works out. Sometimes you do it and it doesn't.
Okay, my question real quick, too, and I think I already know the answer to it. Blaine being under center, I know this is a new thing for him to learn and everything. Mm-hmm. The play action, it just looks like, you know, of course, we're used to watching Peyton Manning, them guys that are pros, run it. I mean, it looks like he's sticking it in there, pulling it out too quick. And I know, is that just something that he's got to work on to sell it more? Or
yeah,
does
you know,
it look like he's rushing it?
There's two. I think, Marco, you could really speak to this, but I've always heard people talk about linebackers, especially in safeties. There are two aspects to the play action. One is, as the quarterback turns and looks like he's going to, you freeze for a second as you read it. Mm-hmm. And then the other would be guys like Manning or Boomer Esiason or Steve DeBerg, these guys who are, you know, really great at the play action. Brady does a very good job of this, who you put it in there, and then they convince you that it's not just that they hint that they're going to run, but then they convince you it's a run.
They'll show you the ball.
Yeah. And so mm-hmm. then – so those are the sort of two stages. Anybody can do the first stage. Mm-hmm. Not everybody does the second stage.
And now you, the guys that you mentioned, they're all, you know, they weren't doing it when they came in as rookies. Mm-hmm. You know, you saw them doing this when they were, you know, 35, 40 years old, yeah. Especially in the case of Steve DeBerg.
When he might have been in his 50s, he was a pretty good guy. So, yeah, that's certainly something to learn for sure. John, thanks for the call. By the way, just want to note, I just looked it up here. As of right now, after tonight's game, Jaguars are sixth in the National Football League in defense.
Okay,
in
they terms, might make it to 10 by the bye
week. In
terms
of yards per game, they are giving up.
Cool.
They are one of six teams giving up fewer than 300 yards per game in the National Football League.
Yeah.
Just a shade behind. They're 2.4 yards per game behind San Diego, who's fifth. Mm. And in terms of points per game, let me sort that. Points per game, they rank, the Jaguars are eighth, averaging 19.9. So they're giving up fewer than 300 yards, fewer than 20 points per game. So they're sixth and eighth in those two categories. And
just got to get some.
By the
some
way,
points.
The Ravens are number one in both. You know, after tonight's game.
Well, you figure if they could just get two touchdowns with the way Josh is kicking, all they need is two touchdowns, one in each half.
Yep. Touchdown half and a couple of field goal opportunities, you're ready to go.
Good to go.
All right, Valerie, you will be our final caller.
Valerie!
In Green Cove, you're up on the Southern Ford Dealer Scoreboard Show. Valerie, how you doing?
Hey, I made it to the end. I'm almost home.
Girl.
Hey, Valerie.
Glad we keep you company on the way home.
Yes, yes. Hey, Marco, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing wonderful. Got a question, and this question is kind of for you because I know how you felt after that last game in Denver. And my question is, in the end result, eventually a team does look to its quarterback. And, yes, we do have a rookie quarterback. And what a great defense tonight. It was wonderful in the stands. I was there for the Colts game you were talking about, been here for the last 7 years. But what do the coaching staff, you think, have to do? I got a 6'6" quarterback who should be able to see down that field. He's not looking real confident in his throws. We got one that in college was a great thrower. What do they have to do to prepare him a little better to be the leader of this team? Because eventually this team is going to, I mean, you as a football player, when you walked away from a losing game and it wasn't your quarterback giving his best effort, like that last game in Denver, how do you, I mean, that's going to happen. How do we prepare Gabbert to now match up to the defense? What do the coaches have to do to get him ready to lead this team?
I think it's more so what Gabbert have to do. I think we talked about it a few weeks ago as far as him propelling himself off the field, other than what he can do on the field. And that's getting connected with guys like Aaron Rodgers, guys like Tom Brady, these guys that have already established.